Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
We bless you, Lord, you are holy. Shalakadeva pile. We bless you, Lord, you are holy, holy,
and forever you are God.
We bless you, Lord,
you are holy, and forever you are God.
Lay all on me.
Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me. Lay all on me.
Lay your echo, sell a mirror. A wall all on me. Though the enemy may come like a flood, but the Lord has raised his standard against them consistently. Oh, we give you praise, we give you praise, we give you praise. Oh, bless you, Father. Shatakara kosinde credero kosinde. Oh, rahate kero kosinde credista. Lift your voice loud and clear. And bless the name of the Lord. And bless the name of the Lord. And bless the name of the Lord. Hey, akande kero si credike. Oh, we bless you. Oh, Kabi, see a little more. We bless you. 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 Oh, we bless your holy name. Rakate roko sete roko. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, dear Lord. Is there anyone here tonight who is really grateful? Are you truly grateful? Or they've been forcing you to praise God? If you are, why don't you communicate it now? Communicate from the depth of your heart. No one is holding you back. No one is limiting your expression. Just go ahead between you and God and communicate it. Oh, we bless you. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Sete keroko sonde roko sinde. Oh, we bless you. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, we bless your holy name. Thank you. sende kero ko sende ro guru 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 sende kero guru 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 sende ro guru 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 guru. Oh, we bless you. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Because we know that there's about to be a new release tonight. A new chapter is upon us. A new face is here. And we know we are set as your people to receive the template, the wisdom and the strength for it. We give you praise, dear Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Let's give the Lord a big, big hand. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you. Please be seated. Please be seated. Wow. What do we say to Apostle Lawal's Leman? Wow. Wow. That was a wow. In simplicity and in clarity. Let's give the Lord a praise on his behalf. Now, if you have been following the teachings in this house, what you are about to listen to tonight, it's very serious. And it depends on where you stand. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I believe that those teachings we've been having is a lot to prepare you for what we are about to have tonight. So if you are asking, what's the prophecy for God, for Nigeria, for the body of Christ? Hey, listen. Because you will see certain things. Are you following what I'm saying here? As I began to pray and wait upon the Lord, Lord said to me, he said, we are in the season of reversing the mistakes of Joseph. What season? Reversing the mistakes of Joseph. And that's what I'm going to teach tonight. And I'm going to teach this, God helping, throughout the month of January. Alright? So please pay attention. Let's turn our Bibles quickly to the book of Exodus. Let's start the reading from Exodus 1 from verse 1. Alright? You will have to be very patient tonight. Is that okay? And listen attentively. You will see Nigeria in this teaching. You will see the body of Christ in this teaching. You will see yourself in this teaching. So that's why I said it depends on where you stand. But you will see something. And by the time we are done, you will know exactly what to do. You will know exactly what to do. Alright? But this is where we are now. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Yes. Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Yes. And what's the effect of that? And he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, come on. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when they fallet out any war, they join also with our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. 12 now. Okay, 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Phetom and Ramses and the like. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. So please pay attention. So what happened here is, the Bible says a king rose. Because when we read this at the surface, you want to just move on. But it's deeper than that. A king rose over Egypt that knew not Joseph. And when the Lord said we're in the season of reversing the mistakes of Joseph, I began to ask, who was Joseph? Because if we investigate who this guy was in his lifetime, should there ever be a time that his memory will be wiped off? If we begin to investigate who Joseph was and the significance of Joseph to Egypt, their survivor, should there ever be a time, even if the worst and the most forgetful person should become a king, should it ever happen that it will be said that someone did not know Joseph? Whose fault was it that Joseph was not known? So, can we investigate a bit? So, the first question, who was Joseph? You know, Joseph was that son of Jacob that was sold to slavery. He had a vision. And he saw the sheaves of his brothers bowing down to him. He saw them paying homage to him and honoring him. And he shared the vision with wrong people and they got him sold to slavery. But I want us to begin to look at it because as the Lord began to reveal this to me, I had to close my Bible several times and weep. And that's why I want you to please listen. Is that okay? Please listen. So let's check this guy, Joseph. Who was he? And what was his significance to the survivor? So when Joseph was sold to slavery, I don't have time running you to Genesis 39 and all that. He was brought down to the house of a man, a very strategic man, quite a big man, and quite an influential politician. But the man observed that from the moment Joseph came in, everything he was doing was prospering. Let's check that. Genesis 39. Genesis 39, let's start from verse 1. Genesis 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Yes, 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper. Listen to this. One of the first signs of the presence of God in your life is that nothing dies in your hands. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't carry God's presence and join an establishment. And from the moment you join, they start going down. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can't have that presence and be disadvantaged. This guy was as good as a commodity because they bought him. But he observed. Do you know what it means for people who don't know God to observe that God is with you? Do you know what it means for people who don't love God to observe that God is in love with you? Because this guy wasn't a Jew, wasn't a believer in the sense of it. But he observed that this guy is not just smart. The effect of what we are seeing here, there is a superior being that is with him. And that should only be God. So he also observed that the same God made all that he did to prosper. So it means if something should not work ordinarily, when Joseph touches it, it works. So he observed that it's beyond Joseph. That God makes it prosper in his hands. All right, let's go to verse 4 now. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. There are things you've never seen in this story you'll see tonight. So he made him overseer. So Joseph had something consistent with him, and that thing is going to come upon you today. That if you put Joseph in the most lowly place, by the virtue of that hand, it lifts him. Do you get what I'm saying? That hand of God is coming upon your life. Yeah. And you will never be disadvantaged. Yeah. Say that amen again, sharp. Yeah. Please be seated. And see, it is not enough that the hand of God is upon you. You must lay demand on it. Meaning that even if a dimension is on you, if you don't understand the effect of that dimension, you will maximize it. There are things you should question, but you will accept them. Because you don't know what the hand of God is to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everyone that is indebted here, by the virtue of the hand of God, I decree and declare, between now and the end of first week of January, there is a grace coming upon you that lifts debt totally. Yeah. Say that amen again loud and clear. Yeah. Please be seated. Put your hands on your head and say, the hand of God is upon me. I can't be stranded. I prosper. In all that I do, I can't be stranded. I can't be limited. From today, I will no longer take poverty as a divine dealing. I reject it and everything around it. I prosper in all that I do. Now, please be seated. Because you can accept lack as a gift from God. But 3 John verse 2 says, but beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper. Listen, you don't need the economy to change for you to prosper. What is on you prospers regardless of the economy. Do you get what I'm saying? Because, listen, there's going to be a lot of prophecy and all that. Different prophecies in part and all that. But listen, you have a portion. And what we are going to do is, in spite of what is going to be happening in the world, where do we stand? Put your hands there again. Say, I prosper. Look up. Listen, there are many of you seated here. Where you are now is the least you will ever be. Listen, if people should look at you now, they may not even see any significance. But there is already a hand. It is not the day a man is announced that he's lifted. First, you are lifted by revelation. Everything joins. There are some of you who are aware. You know what I'm saying, that yes, this is me. You are about to enter. You are entering that season now, where bread will not be scarce. Please be seated. So when he saw that everything this guy touched prospered, he didn't see, we don't beg for positions. It follows us because we are needed. Are you following what I'm saying here? The hand of God is on somebody here. I'm telling you, you may enter a place as the last, you will shift. You will shift. You will shift. I'm telling you. I saw horses prepare, listen, ready to run, and they are just about to hear the word go. Telling me. Let me tell you something. Know we no man after the flesh. There are people you are seeing here now that this is the last time they will ever be like this. I'm telling you. They will never be. This is the last crossover service like this in their life. Because something is already upon them. I'm telling you. The season is here already. The season is here. Please be seated. Be seated. Be seated. Oh God, help me. Help me. I love the prophetic drawings in the house. Keep drawing. Now look at it. Let's go to verse 5. And it came to pass that when he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. Meaning that what Joseph carried could radiate. But he was not the owner. Do you get what I'm saying? At this level, he was blessed. But it was those that he was serving under that who enjoyed the blessing. So this couldn't be where God wanted to take him to. God needed to shift him on where what is on him does not just benefit somebody else and the fellow is just enjoying it. Where Joseph, you don't understand that. There are some of you who are blessed, but you are not owners yet. A company is making a 100-fold off the grace on you. But meanwhile, you are the one, you are the hack there, carrying the presence. But you've not got to that point where you are now wielding yours. One of the first things I want to pronounce is the grace for ownership. Yes. To as many as are here who believe God has called me, and you believe God has sent me, the things in the areas where you are serving, you begin to own yours. And you begin to own establishments. You begin to own industries. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. He carried it, but he couldn't really eat of it. Because somebody was enjoying it. And the fellow knew that he's been blessed because of this guy. And sometimes, yeah, when that happens, what will happen is that they do everything to keep you there and give you what is called maintenance ration so that you are maintained. Hey. Somebody is moving there for maintenance ratio. Yeah. I'm telling you. Do you believe? Okay. See, the Bible said, and he left. We are trying to trace this same Joseph that somebody could rise and not know. We are trying to trace who this guy is, or this guy was. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Mark this verse 6. Alright, because this is not the only time it is happening. And he knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Yes? Quickly, 7 now. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes. Now let me say this to you. It is not true that when people are pursuing you with sin that there's something foundationally wrong with you. Some people just don't know how to respond to the dimension of God you carry. Are you following what I'm saying here? And the way they want to respond is, let me make this fellow mine. No. You must know how to say no. Because maintaining what you carry is, it will require saying no to sin to carry for long. But you know the story, and how she lied and all that, tried to sleep with the guy, and he preferred to run. Bible says he left his coat in her hand. Probably the woman was afraid that Joseph will expose her, and she lied. She lied that Joseph wanted to rape her. Now, let's go to verse 20. And Joseph's master took him, verse 20 now, and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoner were bound, and was there in the prison. Anyway, the guy he was serving under was even in charge of prison. But the Lord was with Joseph still, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of prison. Hey, there's somebody here you've been lied against. You've been lied against, cheated. You served somewhere and gave your all, and they lied against you and pushed you out. Don't come out, don't worry. That wilderness that you were pushed into is about to become a fruitful field. Now, let's compare. Look at verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners. Look at verse 6 of Genesis 39 again. Verse 6, quickly. And he left all. Let's go to verse 22. And even in prison, the keeper of the prison committed to what Joseph's hand all the prisoners. So the grace on this guy's life is that when he shows up anywhere, commit all to his hands. That's the grace. It's not his fault. You can hate a man like that, but anywhere he shows up, they just commit all. Because they see that God is with this guy. Are you following what I'm saying here? He committed to Joseph and all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. So God moved from Potiphar's house to prison with Joseph. He was the ark carrying that presence. So they noticed that riot stopped breaking out in prison. No more fight. Everyone just simply obeyed. They cooperated. And they started tracing which prisoner entered when the atmosphere shifted. Ha! That guy. You better make him the captain. Somebody is receiving grace for headship. But hey, listen. Just follow me, okay? Just follow me. So the keeper of the prison look not to any. Do you know what it means for keeper of the prison not to be checking prisoners? He look not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to what? Prosper. Who is this Joseph guy? How can one man be disgraced? Now let's go to Genesis 40. Just follow this story. Now let me quickly narrate this because I don't have time. Bible says it came to pass. Something happened in the prison. Two prisoners had a dream. One saw that he was holding something. The king was taken from meat and all that. But the other one saw that he carried a basket of meat. Very strange dream. Let's look at it. Because there's also a lesson here. Sometimes prophecies are not necessarily strong to come to pass just because they are what God intends. It also matters who is saying it. If a very charged man say what is wrong, sometimes heaven is obligated to stamp it because of the man's track record. Each man's dream One night, each man according to the picture of his dream. Now let's go to verse 6. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he had Pharaoh's officer that were with him. And in what I was saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Yes, quickly. And they said to him, we have dreamed a dream and all that. Let's go to verse 9. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and he said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. And as it was, as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Yes, verse 11. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the vision of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee to thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hands after the former manner when thou was a butler. Now listen to this. If you notice that what you carry only function in certain environments, you are not carrying in fullness enough. It should function everywhere. In all seasons. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, listen to this. You don't need any prophecy about how bad Nigeria will be. Because what you carry functions even in the midst of that thick darkness. The thicker the light, the more the darkness, the more the beauty of what you carry. You get what I'm saying? So don't hear anything and say, see what's going to happen. Mm-mm-mm. Yours functions regardless. So he said, they will lift you up. Now look at verse 15. Alright. Go back to verse 14. He said, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and shew kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away. And Joseph started telling him the stories. I was stolen. I'm not a bad person. I came from a place with a name, but I was stolen and brought here. You see, Joseph also started trying to buy his way out. Meanwhile, what is on him is what is bringing this guy out. What you need to get out can't be this guy. Because if he's that powerful, he should get out by himself. You won't need to lobby. Others may. That's not your dimension. Their prosperity is on your lips. So you should know how to use it. If the grace of God is upon me. Now, I shared this story with you. On campus, I had not paid my school fees. And there was an exam. And I stood outside. I wouldn't want any embarrassment. And I saw a guy coming in. And the guy said, he just came to meet me and taught me. I said, yes, finally. The guy said, I know. If I can touch Pastor Lazarus, nobody will stop. He had not paid the school fees. He said, nobody dares to stop him. And the guy came to touch me. And I looked through the window and I saw him seated in the first seat. Right, he looked at me, he smiled. But the man carrying this is now outside. So someone can know what I carry more than me. I got up and I said nonsense. And I went inside. And I sat down. And no one asked me anything. My God. It won't be by lobbying. You won't have to beg. This happens to everyone carrying at some point that something is on me. It's been blessing lives. When will mine be blessed? Relax. Let me show you. Please be seated for a while. They said this, but this is not going to be God's pattern. Now let's go to verse 16. We're going to have to jump. But when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, that guy should have kept quiet. But when he saw it was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. I had a dream too. And behold, I had three white, because now you see that three is very powerful. I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket was all manner of baked meat for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. The other one said, I saw Pharaoh collect it and drink. What you saw was that bird was eating what is for the king. Make sure no, it's not everything. Verse 18. And Joseph answered, this is the interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head. That lift up your head is a very polite word. It means he will cut off your head from off thee. And he shall hang thee on a tree. And the birds shall eat thy flesh. And it came to pass on the third day and all that. What he said the third day. One was lifted. One was. But let's go to Exodus, Genesis 41. Please, I'd like you to please follow me patiently. Is that okay? I'm mindful of time. Just follow me. After Joseph had helped this guy, the Bible said, and it came to pass, at the end of 2 full years, the man carrying that grace was still there for 2 years. The guy he helped, professor, he forgot him when he got there. That Pharaoh dreamed. Hey, God is about to cause a commotion somewhere that will need what you carry. Okay. He dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Yes. And behold, there came out of the river 7 well-favored kind and, all right, fertile shed, and they fed in the middle. Yes. And behold, 7 other kind came after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed. And all that. And the lean-fleshed kind did eat up so the lean one ate up the fat ones. And the king was troubled. What's the meaning of this? And he had this dream 3 times in one night. Now let's jump a bit. Now let's go to verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then spake the butler to Pharaoh, say, I do remember my faults this day. I remember. Alright. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in word in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream one night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him and interpreted for our dreams to each man according to his dream. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored to my office and him you hanged. Him he hanged. Now listen. Hey. There are some of you that God is trying to walk you through a corridor. Because you would not have to despise people. You have given the quota of what you carry to a small set of people that didn't look like it. But they are the ones that will speak of you before the king. So when God says royalty is coming, but what you have seen first is the king's servant. That's royalty. You need to build a track record. Do you get what I'm saying? Be faithful in building that track record. It will speak at the end. Now look at verse 14. Then Pharaoh said, because God told us, he said, prepare yourself, you stand before kings. That's one of the words for the year coming. And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came to Pharaoh. Meaning that it is not enough that you have the solution. When Eliab stood before Samuel, Samuel said, yes, this is he. And the Lord said, no. Don't look at him. Don't look at his countenance. For I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For men look at the outward. It's a year you should learn packaging. Because what you carry is marketable, but the carrier is not. One of the things God wants to do in this season is to reintroduce you to you. Because there are certain postures you won't have if you really know who you are. Some of you have overlearned the subject of humility that you died in the process. And it's not arrogance. There are postures that if you don't have, though graced, you will not be called. And there's nothing anybody can do to help you if you don't know it. I think we shared a post, something written by Pastor Podu. There are certain level of leadership. There are sophistications you must embrace. You either embrace them or you perish. Period. It is not enough that you're a blessing. You must look like it. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, there are a lot of things here. I have dreamed a dream and there is none. Mark that word, none. You will begin to function where no one else can function. There is none that can interpret it. Because listen, oh church, listen. There's going to be stress in the world. The wisdom of the world will be exhausted. There are astrologers, there are scientists, they will all be exhausted. That is when the light of God will be risen upon thee. That's when kings will now come to the brightness of your rising. Because what they have is darkness. So don't take the prophecy of confusion of the world as yours. Their confusion is your own blessing. You don't believe it. If they are not sick, how do we manifest healing? If nations are not broke, how do we lend to nations? Anyone who is not broke, you can't lend to the person. Now let's jump a bit. Pharaoh narrated his dream. Now let's go to verse 25. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Yes. So he said, the three dreams you had is one dream. Somebody is going to move with the spirit of wisdom. He said, the seven good kind are 7 years. And the seven good years are 7 years. And the dream is one. Yes. And the 17 and ill-favored kind that came up are 7 years. And the 7 empty years blasted Israel around are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do is show it to Pharaoh. Yes. And behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by the reason of the famine following. For it shall be very grievous. Yes. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. Because the thing is established. Meaning, what is about to happen, nobody can stop it. God will bring it. God will shortly bring it to pass. Look at verse 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh. Now, listen to this. He didn't just interpret. What he now began to say is the operation of the spirit of wisdom. Knowledge can reveal, but wisdom solves. You get what I'm saying? So now he began to speak by the spirit of wisdom. Because there are places, there are some of you here, your temperament has cheated you over the years. You need to break out. Or you are forgotten behind. Follow me. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out for a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers to the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt, in the 7 plenteous years. Meaning that wisdom must rule in the years of plenty. You need wisdom in the years of plenty. You need a wise man. And let them keep food in the cities. Now verse 36. and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not throughout the famine. Yes. And the thing was good in the house of Pharaoh and the house of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such one as this? How can those who are failed be regarded as those who are wise? They've all failed. And that's why you thrive where they are failing. Because the treasures of the wicked is about to come to your hands. But first, you need to manifest excellence. Such one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all this, there is none so discreet as wise as you are. Meaning that Egypt is about to perish. The only reason we will survive is because of you. Now that God has shown you this, we also need you for survival. So Joseph was that man, they begged for the survival of Egypt. Do you understand that? Egypt will perish. Egypt will die. Egypt will. Except that a man like this. Because every other nation perished. In fact, even Jacob, the one carrying the blessing, was broke. How can the blessed be broke? And the only place favored was Egypt. Because a man carries something. If there is anywhere there should be food in this season, it should be with Jacob. But how come Jacob was so stranded? He sent his sons. I've heard that there is food in Egypt because of a man called Joseph. Please listen. You have functioned in prison. You have functioned in Potiphar's house. But what is on you is about to become a national treasure. Maybe the person is not here. Now, let's sit down for a moment. Now, look at who Joseph was. And thou shalt be over my house. And according unto my word, Joseph, according to your word, shall all my people be ruled. Do you understand that? Meaning that, Joseph, you are becoming the ruler of Egypt. According to your word, shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Now, if you look at this in government, it means Pharaoh was saying, I will become a ceremonial leader. You become the actual leader. It's like saying, like what we have in England. He will be the king, or you be the prime minister. That's a powerful thing. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it in Joseph's hand. Now listen to this. How did we get to the point that the things that were committed to us, now we are fighting for space to get them back? And there are now kings that does not know it is our own. There used to be a time we were in charge. There used to be a time. But something happened to us. And a kingdom grew and denied our legitimacy. What God is saying is this. I want to reverse that mistake that was made. We used to be the frontliners of media. How come now it is now a land that does not know us? That when these same us now speak, they mob us. We used to be in charge. The king removed his ring. That's the symbol of authority. From his hand, and put it in Joseph. So if Joseph speaks, is the king talking. And I arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. Yes. And made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. What kind of man? What went wrong? What changed? Joseph was practically in charge of Egypt. And let me say this to you. Egypt did not just survive because of Joseph. They became world power. How can a man that brought you from nothing to become world power become forgotten in your history? Because whenever they want to afflict a generation, they edit history. Do you get what I'm saying? If the enemy wants to do something, that the effect will be for long. Because they know believers don't pay attention to stories. They edit history. There are things that have been edited out, but we are the ones that started it. We are now the one saying, let's take the mountain of media. It used to be ours. We are now the one saying, let's take the mountain of entertainment. It used to be ours. What changed? Check the history of technology. You will see technology grew hand in hand with the move of God. How come now when we call Jesus on DSTV, they mute it? How come? What changed? Joseph, with this capacity that you have, what did you omit? Why? What mistake did you make that you didn't ensure that you'll never be forgotten? Can I tell you some of the things that happens? If you check the system of Egypt, a time came that Egyptians began to observe that Joseph was trying to put his brothers in key position. Then they will shout. Then they filled the police force with Egyptians. The army with Egyptians. The key decision-making arms with Egyptians. One man alone can be a success, but you need your people to have a legacy. They took legacy from Joseph and gave him success. So they started becoming, they started monitoring Joseph. He's talking to these people. He's talking to the Jews. I don't have time. And they use the strategy of blackmail. They are giving the Jews everything. How many Jews? One. Look at them, look at them. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I'm Pharaoh. And without you shall no man lift up hand or foot in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name. Alright, but this name, the meaning of this name is the bearer of light or son of light. Or the bearer of life. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar's priest, meaning that one of the ways they caged Joseph was that they diluted Joseph. They made sure. They didn't just give him a girl. They gave him the daughter of the priest. So that she will come into his house with the mandate. At some point, believers don't say, it doesn't matter. I don't have to marry a believer. Hey, give him that. But them, they will never marry outside. But him, dilute him. It's not about Christianity on Twitter. Dilute him. But them, they promote LGBT, promote everything. For him, diluting. All these Christians, they are fanatic. There's nothing wrong having a Muslim ticket. Diluting. But them, we must be the ones in charge. They gave him Asenath. Verse 46 now. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, yes. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 year in the land of Egypt and laid up food in the cities. And the food of the field was round about every city. He laid up in the same, yes. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. Very much. Until he left numbering, for it was without number. And to Joseph were born 2 sons. Who are they now? Egyptians. Before the years of famine came, which Asenath, okay, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of Hor, bare unto him, yes? So you know the name of his sons, called the name of one Manasseh and all that. The name of the other Ephraim, alright, let's jump. And the 7 plenteous years, that's the land of Egypt, were ended. Are you seeing how we were cornered? Now, let's jump to verse 455. And when the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What he said to you, you do. Meaning that what they reversed was actually what Joseph was doing. Let me explain. It means whatsoever this Hebrew boy tells you, that's what you will do for food. Egyptians had to look up to him for food. How did the Israelites get up to the one that look up to the Egyptians for food? It was Joseph that fed them. But now they were saying, remember the garlics, the cucumber we ate in Egypt. Their desire was food, and food Joseph gave them. I can't, because of the Passover night and all that. So I'm trying to be a bit ahead of myself. So Joseph was the one they go to for food. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouse and sold to Egyptians. And the famine waxed so in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was sore in all lands. A man like this, how can he be forgotten? How can history be written in such a way that this man is not immortalized? Let me say this to you. Statues don't immortalize men. You need people that will bear your legacy in the system. If you don't infiltrate the system you once fed will make you slaves to feed you. What is God saying? To reverse this, we need to get back. We were not the ones looking for food, we were the ones feeding them. Food should no longer be your problem. As long as it is, you'll be controlled. Get that! As long as, because I'm going to show you, when Jacob and his sons came, what they came for was for food. As long as you are in for food, you'll be mastered. As long as it is food, they will make you do anything for the food. But it's time to say, we used to be the ones giving it. Oh God. Be seated for a while. So you look at Genesis 42. Joseph's brothers came and they couldn't recognize him. That it was Joseph. But when he saw them, he recognized them. So he pretended and all that. But one of the things I was reading, I'm like, are these guys not Abraham's seed? Abraham's seed was now carrying bag 40 days in the wilderness to go and buy corn. What happened to the covenant? What happened? Out of strife. Because what was on Joseph? If Joseph was not in Egypt, that thing will prosper them where Joseph was. They, out of strife, sold the one for their preservation.
So Abraham's seed, the man that God said, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Didn't get that. In us shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So we have a government that is now treating us bad. Then we go to Canada, we go to America, we go to Italy, we go to Europe for food. For food. You know why? Because we sold our Josephs. We didn't discern them. We're not ready for them. We couldn't bear their manifestations. And now we have to run for food. And I was reading this and asking, how will Abraham feel in heaven? It means what Egypt had was not the treasure of Egypt. It was the treasure of the blessing. It shouldn't be in Egypt. It should be in Israel. Church, are you seeing many things here? Don't send them to Egypt. Let them stay. Don't send them to Egypt. Our creatives, don't send them to Egypt. Because we'll have to go to Egypt to now invite them. Let them stay so they can be groomed here. We must discern our Josephs. So we'll not have to trek miles to Egypt to buy what the grace on our Josephs provided in Egypt. Now it is Egypt food. It's not Joseph's food. It's Egypt's food. Because the same thing is now repeating itself again, like it was in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar was blessed because of him, but he was not the owner. Egypt was blessed because of him, but the money is not coming to his pocket. Do you get it? It's time to start knocking the door for ownership. Ownership. Not just beneficiaries of systems. Ownership. Ownership. To own. Meaning that as you enter this new year, so saying, hey, Uber is getting expensive. Put cars out there for Ubers. Stop crying about what the economy is doing. Put things there. Where is the money flowing to in the nation? Be positioned there. The blessed, the sons of Abraham, were now carrying plates. We heard that there is food in Egypt. Meanwhile, Joseph belonged to you. All the wisdom going Canada, going America, is right here. There was a limitation on Joseph's life. Anywhere he gets to, everything spread. He has the wisdom to prosper them, but he does not have the wisdom to own. He's seen that famine will come, but he's forgetting that he will not live forever. And he's not building structures. That let me be in charge of this. And my brothers, when they come, let them be the marketers. He that knew that famine was coming and there will be 7 years of plenty, why didn't he have fields personally? So by the time the brothers come, he puts them in charge. They will be too economically important. They will never become a slave. But as long as they were also benefiting from what the wisdom of Joseph brought, when Joseph is no more, they will enslave them and reverse the process. Why didn't Joseph plant? Why didn't he also gather? Why didn't he also own? Why didn't he also sell? God is asking you that question. What happened to Joseph? How do you have what will cure a nation, but not preserve to infiltrate your own genealogy, to infiltrate the system? Your people came as beneficiaries, you died leaving them as beneficiaries. It's time to reverse the mistakes of Joseph. We will no longer be beneficiaries of election. It's time to get elected. It's
time to get in there. This is what the Lord is saying. This coming year is for the audacious who are saying, listen, I will no longer cry after bread. I own the farm. I own the bakery. I will no longer cry about the price. I put the price out there. It's for the audacious. This is the prophecy for the year. I'm already teaching the prophecy. And when his brothers came, look at the way they were shivering. The sons of Abraham. The sons of Abraham. They were afraid. When Joseph saw them, he knew them. They couldn't recognize him. Not because he had changed, but because he was dressed as an Egyptian. Now they can't recognize us again. Because we've been diluted. We've been diluted. Now we look like the system. We've been diluted. Yes, they've offended us. But we should still stand out. Because we need them more than the enemies. Oh God. So Joseph asked them, where is your father? And they had to go and bring Jacob. How can Jacob be broke? Do you know, you knew who Jacob was? The one the angel met. I say, they asked you, when your father asked you, what's your name? He said, Esau. And I asked him, what is your name now? You have to speak the truth to be blessed. I said, I'm Jacob. So your name will not be called Jacob, but Israel. How can the prince of God be stranded? Because they sold their Joseph. Whatsoever was on Joseph moved from Jacob to Joseph. But there are times that something moved from you to a person, but you need the person. Because that fellow will help you survive. God is saying to send warnings about the way you handle relationships. This coming year, you will see believers who are becoming systemic in their operation will shoot out. Those who want to be consumers of bread, they will be victims of the economy. They will be victims of whether the year will be good, dollar will go down. But those who want to, the grace will come. Please be seated for a while. The church in Nigeria will no longer wait for policies to be made. We have to get in. We have to infiltrate the system. We have to. We have to. We have to. Are you following what I'm saying here? We have to. And if you don't know what war of propaganda look like, look at the political system. You know it is not for the timid. Do you think you just get there and just say, now we are here? No, you've got to fight. Your image will be smeared. Your character will be assassinated. But you've got to stand. During lockdown, there was a picture of Aisha Tesufu that she did her hand like this before soldiers. And they said that will be the next Statue of Liberty. And they were sharing a picture with the hijab. And so people were saying, eh, how can she? I said, the one who has the audacity to do it will be immortalized. If you so desire it, where's your audacity? That's the legal tender. Don't just sit and say, no hijab, no hijab. Are you getting out of your seat and get it done? Because you carry the grace. But as long as we wait for them to do it, we are beneficiaries of bread, then slaves will become. Slaves will become. Because the agenda is one thing. Get rid of them. That's the agenda. In case you don't know, there's nothing innocent about Nigeria. There's nothing innocent about Nigeria. There's nothing innocent. It is in the church they fight giving. Don't mind all those pastors. Meanwhile, there are billions pumped into Islamic or Islamization of this nation. Billions. The devil will never fight that. But it is believers who have been diluted. They are now married to Asenat. They will now go online and say, don't mind all these things. That those pastors, believers.
And while we are busy fighting ourselves, the devil is making the system too difficult. That even when we now come to our senses and we want to enter, the door is almost shut. There are missionaries leaving mission field because there's no funds. Boko Harams are heavily funded. Heavily funded. Choppers delivering food. But the same guys are hungry that the general overseer is using a chopper. And who are those that will say, yes, yes, believers? You know why? Because you are eaters of bread. And they are making sure that you will never enter production line. They are making sure. They know that no matter the legacy of the few you have, them alone, it will die out. You need many of their kinds for us to be strong over Nigeria. God is saying it is time to reverse the mistakes of Joseph. Meaning that as God is planting you in systems, bring people. You come here. There's an opening here. Bring people. But Joseph, don't forget, the people you are bringing about you, what the devil wants to use against you is that you'll be offended and say, stay where you are. I will give you food, but don't come in. Are you following what I'm saying there? They spoke against you when you were campaigning, but you must still say, come in. Because we are better off with you than without you. God has given you a privilege to enter into establishment. And you discover that there is quiet Islamization of the system. The word Islamization is going to ring bell throughout 2023. You are believers that are saying, we should not be fanatic about our religion. Are you seeing where you are missing? You diluted them, concentrated. And they keep issuing out policies for you to become weaker and weaker. And when you bring one person, he's brought his brothers. Who is the minister for communication? Shh. Who is in charge of police? Shh. The military? Shh. The air force? Shh. The navy? Shh. Where do you stand? Food. Government for the poor. Oh yes, we'll vote for so and so and so. When will you go? Because it takes the audacious. It is the year of the audacious. Those who move from being beneficiaries to becoming systemic. Because who will have systemic understanding will thrive. Because the portal is about to open. And I could feel the burden in the heart of God. When God is saying, reverse the mistakes of Joseph. How can a king come now that does not know that you were the reason why this land is surviving? Who were those who prayed for Abacha to get out of the seat? How come we are no longer recognized? Who were those who prayed? Who were those who fought for the freedom of this nation? Have you tried to hold your pen and check? Who are those who used to be in charge of media, leading on radio stations? Who had the money to afford it? How come now we are pushed out of everything? And once it becomes expensive, the church will be reduced to Facebook. Till Facebook says we no longer accept this one and so, and they will lock your account out. And your voice is shut down. Because we keep eating bread we don't produce. We keep eating. Is there a grace coming upon producers? Coming upon those who will be ready to move into inventions. And you will see, you will not dilute Jesus because they are not. How many of you are into tech here? And you see how much they are willing to pay you just for you to promote LGBT agenda. Where is that money coming from? How come when you call Jesus, they say you're a fanatic? How come? But they can put billions just for you to promote LGBT. But once you call Jesus, he's a fanatical person. And you too. I don't want to be a fanatical person. I don't want anybody to see me and say, are you even God? And say, hey, I'm not a religious person. I'm not a fanatic. You must be! Because the system demands it! Stop hiding! You are Joseph, not as a nut. You are Joseph! You are an Hebrew! You should rule them as an Hebrew, not as an Egyptian. The moment you accepted, you are an Egyptian, you killed your own. Because when they came, they had no identity. But the Egyptians always know that you are not part of them, but they accept it for politics. But you are Joseph, an Hebrew of Hebrews. Oh God. Why are we now fighting for what used to be ours? We are now praying for there to be 10, 50 millionaires in church. There was a time we were in charge. There was a time. Can we put our hands on our head and say, oh God. Is there anyone angry here? I don't, because there's nothing I can do with. Maybe this is not for you. I say, oh my God, help me. I leave the food line and I enter production line. Can I give you a minute? Can I give you a minute to pray it? Oh. Please pray. In Jesus' name we are praying. Sit down for a while. And in Genesis 45 verse 8, Joseph was now even saying, I've moved from being just a prime minister. Genesis 49 verse 8. He was talking about how they sent him here. He said, at this level, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. God has made me. What I'm trying to tell you is that God is saying it is time to be reintroduced to systems. It is time to understand. And the consciousness you must now enter with is the, see, listen, an average Muslim politician is actually an imam. Their discipleship is stronger. So as far as advancing their kingdom is, they are tougher. We are the ones that get there and get overwhelmed. They don't get carried away. Seven of them will still sit around the tree and eat. And they are proud about going to Mecca. But now we hide when we come to church, except we are campaigning. They will sit and listen to wazis, and their imams will educate them. But we feel too big to come to church. So we get diluted because we forget the constitution. The problem is not that we don't actually have men, but we didn't train them before they mature. We didn't train them. They've not wielded kingdom before they wielded power. So you see that the first things they start doing. See, I'm not a religious person. But if the first thing you start doing when money begins to come shows the level of your maturity. That's when you know that you should do this, you should do that. How many of you who are trusting God for liftings are crying in your secret place because you are tired of the humiliation of the faith? And you want God to put this on you because of the kingdom. There is bread. There is wine. But it is for warriors. There is bread. There is wine. But it is for soldiers. How many of us are tired of asking because of your own belly?
But now, you look at the whole, and I'm telling you, there are people seated here that God is going to use for us. Because there's a cry in heaven, who will go for us? Who shall we send? Who will help us? Who are those who don't mind the insult? Who are those that God has made their faces strong? Who will be insulted? Because listen, by the time the insult begins to come, your brothers too will insult you. But never forget you going there because of them. They will insult you because they will not understand that God is actually separating you for their safety. Or would receive food, because even when Moses came to help them, they said, "We prefer to be in Egypt." Some of them will bribe with bread, but never forget, God is not bringing you out to give them bread. He wants to make you help them to become producers. Many of them will eat bread and forsake you. They will eat bread and insult you, but you are still going for them. It is still God sending you, meaning that God is raising people who will not be carried away by human opinion. Those who be strong. Those who are men of conviction. I don't feel they are here. I don't feel they are here. God is saying, get out of the queue for food. Enter production line. Get out of the queue for food. Get out of the queue for food. Oh, job. Start creating. With the kingdom in mind. That as we begin to inject finance to the kingdom, it is because we must become strong. Why can't DSS go and arrest Bishop Oedipo? Some of them have become strong. And that's why they will fight the church attaining that. But we must fight for it. There was a time that a man like Archbishop Oedipo would stand up and a batcher can't see anything. That used to be who we are. We must get back. Power belongs to us. Now you are queuing for food. Because when Israel came to Egypt, it was actually Joseph that planted them in Goshen. Goshen was closer to him. He planted them where they will be feeding, not where they will be producing. And once you plant a man around food, all you have to do is to create a sense of scarcity. You will control him. Poverty is a weapon in the hands of the controller. Don't just be around food. Be around wealth. Be around the creation of it. See, he says someone whose heart is getting enlarged. So I see some of you just seated. It doesn't look like this is for you or anything, like this is beyond my curriculum. I'm not at that level yet. Let me just have 50,000 salary for 2023. So that I can wear some clothes and also buy some shoes and give testimony for 30,000. Is that what you want? Or saying, give me this mountain. People saying, give me this mountain. Not the food growing on it. Not the herbs. Not the vegetables. I want the mountain. Now listen. Listen. We're exactly a minute to 12. And this is the first prayer I'd like for you to pray into the new year. Lord, give me this mountain. That's your first demand. That's your first demand. That's your first demand. Ask for it. Like your life depends on it. That's your first demand. Give me this mountain. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Give me this mountain. Amen. Amen. The direction of your life is about to shift. And this is what heaven has been waiting for all along. A revelation of this. For you to come into that abundance. It is not for bread. It is for men in production. It is not just for eating. There is bread, but it is for soldiers. Shale kate bahai, lekube lekate, beluakai, bakute keba, pande kabayete, puluatai, 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 puluatai. Selekambe ne mukai. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, give me this mountain. In Jesus' name we are praying. Now sit down for 3 minutes as I tie this up. Don't ask for bread. Don't receive prophecies of bread. What God wants to give you is for nations. And now we must know men who are interested in serious kingdom advancement. Because the battle is fierce. The battle is fierce. And it is really, really strong. But listen, a great army is rising. A great army is rising. A great army is rising. Listen, because in this season, we must have men who are saying, success is not enough. We need a legacy. And for the legacy to be complete, we need our brothers. I can't be the only rich guy. Come in, come in, come in, come in. This is the secret. We need to be strong together. Because if I'm the only strong one, if I'm gotten down, we are all down. But if we are all strong, even if you pull me down, my brothers are strong enough to carry me. Listen, God will begin to empower you to empower. He will begin to empower you to empower. He will begin to strengthen you to strengthen. He will begin to give you to give. He will begin to raise you to raise. Because we need to be very strong. We need to be very strong. All of us, all of us, all of us, all of us, all of us. It can't just be Joseph. Reuben must be strong. Simeon must be strong. Judah must be strong. Asher must be strong. Gad must be strong. Dan must be strong. Saleka in the Kibo. Enge Patish. Kalembro Kubatai. Elikabolo Sike. Brebekaika. 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 Amen. Joseph alone can be forgotten. But Israel can't. It's time to begin to empower Israel. Now, I am saying this in advance. I stand before God. I am aware that there are many of you standing here that before this year runs to an end, you'll be raised into strategic placement. But alone, you are weak. It's time for believers to now begin to come together in groups and circles and begin to create wealth. In groups, begin to create wealth. Don't hoard the secret. Show it. Show it. Because the more you show it, the more you have. Show it. We're going to be having clusters. And soon, we are now the one giving the terms because the jobs are created by us. And they are now on our terms. The greatest riches on earth is not crude oil, is not diamond, it's the presence of God on a believer. That's the biggest treasure. It's time for us to begin to harness it. It's time for us to begin to harness it. It's time. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? You are being strengthened in this season to administer strength. Jesus told Peter, he said, the enemy has desired you to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. He said, but when you become strengthened, strengthen your brothers. See, 2023, the question is Joseph still known? How long will it take for Joseph to recover? Because the battle is fierce. The battle is fierce. The battle is fierce. And it will never have been thought that a time will come in this season that there will be boldness to say, let's have Muslim. There's nothing believers can do. It's because Josephs are no longer known. There's a need for restoration. Men like Archbishop Idausa who will say, not on my watch. And not just empty statement, the resource is also there. That when they are doing all these things, their highest givers to campaigns are believers. So we can say we are not going to fund campaigns
until we know those who put on the cabinet. Those who give it can make the decisions. I want to pray for you. Now you know it's beyond bread. Is there anyone here who is asking for something beyond bread? I stretch these hands and I decree, this is that year that you will get more than bread. This is that year that policies will not cripple you because you want bread. This is that year that you enter production line. This is that year that you begin to advance the kingdom on another level. This is that year that it will be clear that you have become strong. That you have become stronger than nations. You have become stronger than kings. In the name of Jesus. Over Nigeria, the mistakes of Joseph's are reversed. And they are done speedily. Get up on your feet, everybody. The Lord laid it in my heart to pray for people in tech. I pray for people in tech, people in politics, and those who are men of uniform. Please come on quickly, quickly, quickly. A politician, I have a couple of you here, those who are in tech, whether you're online and all that, please come quickly, quickly. Men in uniform and all that, please come. Hey. Form a straight line quickly. There's about to be an impartation upon you. Now, let me show you this. Hey, are there people here who believe? Kafin de Kapalai. Join your hands together. Hey. You know, I can as well tell you to take the pictures of the men you are seeing here. Because you are about to see massive explosion. There's about to be crazy explosion. Are you following what I'm saying there? But you will not bow to those stamps. I was watching Cocomelon with my daughter recently. And I saw, for the first time in Cocomelon, they were putting gay inside Cocomelon, a cartoon for children. And I said, what is this? And then one of our friends said, another organization has bought Cocomelon. It's time for us to begin to buy. Once we buy, then we insert our Jesus. That children will watch it. And they can no longer be worldly. Because there are plenty prayer backup. The director of Airpeace, Moema, he was sharing something. That they have, is it in Oke Hotel or Sheraton? They have a room booked down. Round the clock, there are prayer warriors playing as every Airpeace flight is flying. You think this is just normal? There are people paid. What's the assignment? Every Airpeace flight, Kalabakai, Ebenekutish, Ebalakai, Ekut. Because if believers don't wield the resources, it will go back to beer parlors, go back to clubs, go back to all those things. Then you'll have to be submitted there for you to wield it. But when you do, recycle back in things that enhances lives. The Lord is saying there are some of you here that first need to give your life to Christ. I'm going to call you once. Come out. If you know you need to give your life to Christ. Because you cannot advance the kingdom you are not a part of. There's massive war against the body of Christ. Right now. Look at the killings in Kaduna South. Look at the killings that happen. Who can believe that herdsmen will enter Enugu and waste them? And it will make news. Enugu! Hey. But there are believers who will change the narrative. But before I pray that prayer, whether you are in church or here, I beg you in the name of Jesus, you know in your heart, I need to give my life to Christ. If not, I can't be a solution to the problem. I'm just part of the problem. Please come and meet me here, quickly. I beg you in the name of God. Don't be shy. Please come. Please come. Thank you. Please come. Please come. Please come. If you're in the church, please come. Be the first New Year gift to God. beg you. There's a lot God will do through your life. Please come. Please come. Wherever you are standing, don't be shy. Your life is about to take a new turn. Your life is about to take a new turn. Please come. Keep clapping, I beg you. Please come. Please come. Please come. Please come. Please come. Oh, shende kafa de roku sente. Oh yes, don't stop clapping. Wherever you are, please come. Please come. God is about to use you to change narratives. Are they the only one? If the Holy Spirit is saying you need to be outside, don't hide it. Don't be hard. Make it down quickly. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. Can you put your hands on your chest? If there's anyone that needs to be here, please be a part of this lion call. And say after me, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I've been a sinner. I believe, I know that you came to this world to die for sinners, of whom I'm chief. And you died for my sins. And on the third day, you rose up for my justification. I believe and I accept what you have given, that eternal life. I accept it. I'm your son from today. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you have said that prayer, the greatest miracle in the whole world has just happened now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hey, can I ask you a question? How many of you will are totally sold out that if God opens this door, he will not regret it? Because when I'm about to prophesy upon you now, hey, something is going to break open. But the question is, will you be intact? Will you promote the kingdom? Or by the time you get something, when you see pastors, because they don't mind all those thieves. We've seen that many times. A lot of times. Join your hands together. And Father, we'll deploy your grace. Please stand where you are, because the power of God is about to eat you. Upon these individuals, that same presence that was with Joseph, that made him prosper, despite and in spite of all that was happening in Egypt. I stretch my hands towards these people. Some of them have been crying bitterly in their secret place, trusting that you will trust them with it. In agreement, O Lord, I stretch my hands to them and I decree, let the floodgates of that increase. It is this year, not another. I decree it is unleashed upon you now. Yeah. And I speak this word. The same presence that was with Joseph joins itself with your chariot. You will not go without the presence. Yeah. The same door you knocked that didn't open, by the anointing, it opens now. Yeah. By the anointing, it opens now. And I stretch my hands towards all of you. And I decree, none shall be small amongst you. Before the first quarter of this year is over, there will have been so many millionaires amongst you. Many of you are breaking into the dimension of wealth you've never touched before. And I decree that when this begins to happen, you will not forget the God who has lifted you. Amen. You will not forget his kingdom. Amen. It is done. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Go back to your seat. Something has come upon you. Let's go quietly. Now let's rise on our feet, everybody. The Lord also asked me to pray specifically for individuals who are trusting him to be married before this time next year. If you are monks in that category and you are not shy, some of you might be going, but you are part of them, please rush out quickly. Quickly, quickly. I want to pray for you quickly, quickly. Whether those connected online and those here. Father, I stretch my hands towards all your children. A wind blew in Ezekiel 37. And he said, I heard a great noise. And the wind blew, brought bone to bones. By the operation of the wind of the Spirit, I decree and declare, bones are coming to bones. Yeah. Wherever your spouse is, this year, it will happen. Yeah. And I decree, those of you who already have your spouse, but there's a need for financial strength. If that will happen tomorrow, you are even set. In the name that is above all names, God who does not deny his children what they want, that same God will make sure that the floodgates are opened. Yeah. There are some of you that probably you've been just meeting the wrong people and they are trying to complicate your life. By the operation of the Spirit, you meet the right person. Yeah. And I decree over you a quick walk. Amen. A quick walk. Amen. Perfected in righteousness. Amen. A quick walk. Amen. A quick walk. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It is done. Amen. By this time next year, everybody under the sound of my voice, you will come with your spouses. Amen. Already settled. Amen. And there are some of you that will come with your children. It is done. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Please go back to your seat. It's done. The word is released. Now listen. With the level of what God is about to do on the face of the earth, it requires believers who are not operating by guesswork. Those who know adequately exactly what to do. So I speak this new year blessings over you. In blessings, God will bless you. Amen. You will not walk in dry places of the earth. Amen. In between, somewhere around the year, whatsoever it is, you will not be missing. Amen. More than ever before, more than any season in your life, this year you gain spiritual weight. Amen. Those of you who have turned your back in battle before will no longer turn your back in battle. Amen. You receive revelation knowledge. Amen. To know exactly what to do. Amen. You will know the direction of investment. Amen. You will not function by guesswork. In 2023, you will move from being a producer, a consumer to becoming a producer. Amen. Because of you, the kingdom will advance. Amen. Because of you, the kingdom will thrive. Amen. 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 Any shubuara, any shubuemi, I decree the blessings of the Lord will follow you throughout this year. Amen. It will go before you everywhere you get to. Amen. The Lord has shown me again and again and again. I see us stepping into so much influence, so much strength. So much influence, so much affluence, so much grace. And I see people becoming giant. Amen. This is your portion this year. I decree and declare, no wind will carry you away. Amen. This year, more than ever before, you will know God more. Amen. More than ever before, you will serve God more. More than ever before, you do his will more. Amen. More than ever before, you will give to his purpose more.
Amen.
You will not struggle.
Amen.
It is done. In Jesus' mighty name.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.